It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And as always, I'm thrilled, really, truly thrilled that you are choosing to spend your time listening in and learning how to do money in a new way. This podcast is all about creating a new paradigm around money. And that it isn't about creating a paradigm just to create a paradigm. It's really about being able to learn how to create using your soul money relationship instead of creating out of your money wounds, out of your money pain, because when you can rely on that soul money relationship, you have a lot more joy, a lot more ease. And it is something that can really create a difference in your day-to-day abundance and the amount of money that's in your bank account. And one of the tenets, I don't want to sound too professorial here today, but I want to start out by talking about just one of the principles that I talk a lot about with people around this paradigm shift. And that is that it is a lot easier to access that soul money relationship through a being state rather than a doing state. So the being state is something that we all have, and we have it all the time. And it's created by our feelings and our emotions, our thoughts and the feelings and emotions that those thoughts create. And it, as I said, it's shifting all the time, but it's so much easier to access the divine, to access all aspects of the soul money relationship from that being space. And that's a bit of a mind tumble, I think, right? Because we're really used to thinking about creating money by doing something, whether that's getting a different degree, whether that's getting a different job, or adding a new course to what we offer. But this being state is something that when you can get in alignment with the being state that is the same as money, you really have a lot of room now to craft that relationship so that you can receive what you want. And of course, once we know about a principle, we ask the question, the obvious question, which is how. And that is why I have my guest on today. And I'm super thrilled that Rishi is joining us, because what we really want to talk about today is the how. How do we get into a being state? What does it really mean? What does frequency mean? And what are some of the ways that we can do that? So Rishi, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you. I'm very honored and just thrilled to be here with you. Thank you.
So let me tell people a little bit about you. Mm-hmm. So Rishi is a multimodality teacher, body worker, energy worker, and therapist. And when I say multi, I truly mean multi. Reading through your list of accomplishments is amazing. So I'm not going to read them all because it would take us all time. But you have written multiple books, and you also teach people, right? You teach people how to do some of these modalities, and in this age of COVID, helping people learn how to transfer what they teach into an online model, right? So you are clearly multifaceted. And of course, I would be remiss in this, at least in this space, to say as well that you are a soul language practitioner, right? Yeah. So we are here to talk all things frequency, all things being. And I'm curious how, let's start the conversation here. I'm curious about how you would talk about frequency and vibration and what that really means. We kind of toss that word around a lot in the energy world, but what does it really mean?
Yeah, you're exactly right. In our spiritual domains, we do toss the words around, And often we just use it in our conversation, or we use it as little memes or punchlines, you know. But what it means to me is to get really in touch with the layers of our being, the layers of our essence, and to be able to clear what needs to be cleared. And, you know, we always talk about elevating our frequency or our vibration. And that really just means to feel good on all levels.
Yeah, it can be as simple as that, right? It's okay, let me tune in and how do I feel? And it's not necessarily, you know, I think sometimes people say or equate, okay, so I'm feeling good, so that, or I'm feeling in a real positive way, so that's a good thing. Or, okay, I'm feeling a little angry, I'm feeling a little frustrated, and that's a bad thing. And it's not really about judgment. It's really more about discernment, right? It's right. So if I know it, then I can do something about it.
Yes. Yeah. So what that brings me to now is the core of Buddhist mindfulness, which means be in the present moment with yourself to understand where you are with no judgments whatsoever. Mm. And that's what present moment awareness really is, right? And if we go into a judgment, then our biases show up, then our patterns show up, and then our negative self-talk shows up. Everything that we want to get rid of starts to show up. So if we can come to these practices that we do from that state of present moment awareness with no judgment, then we're in that essence of purity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And when we're in that essence, it's so much easier to hear what the divine is sharing with us, because the divine is sharing with us all the time, right? Where it's a lot easier to hear what, especially even in this particular conversation, what money is saying to us, because money is always sharing with us as well, as money is in the energy form, right? Part of the divine, and it is willing to share with us as well, right? Yeah, so, okay, so as we think about being in this pure state, again, there's another word that could create a little bit of judgment, I suppose. But as we're thinking about being in that state, tell me what your experience of that state is. Like, what does that feel like to you?
Mm. Well, the first thing is it feels rather delicious. So it feels really good. Right?
Yeah.
Because we cleared all the mental chatter out as best as we can. And we cleared a lot of the physical pains away too, even the little nagging things, right? So from the viewpoint where I typically come from around these topics is a yogic viewpoint. And so we have layers of our being from that viewpoint. And the Sanskrit word to that is koshas, but you know, it's just layers. It's like a Russian doll effect, if you would, right? To give you the visual. And we have this physical being that we have. We have this physical layer. But underneath all this, we have an energy body, right? We have all the little systems, depending on what lineages and teachers and other things that you know, we all draw that from. But, you know, we still have a central channel. You know, we still have that. And we could have a lot of other things going on, chakras and things like that. And so I've been putting a lot of focus around the energy body to clear that space and allowing that clearing to permeate all other layers of the being as well. So the intellect, as well as the psychology, as well as the emotional body, and going in deeper into the subtle spaces too. So we can get the channel as clear as possible. Yeah. And then the aha moments come from there.
Yeah. So is that something that's possible to engage all the time? Or is this something that we're doing in a time that we've set aside?
Yep. So in both, and I've been under your wing for quite some time about doing this all the time. So, but the depth of it for me is still coming from time aside. So it's inside sacred practice.
Yeah. You know, I think that... you know, I think that when we learn something and we know that it's going to work, you know, I do talk about wanting to have that connection happening more often than not, right? And at the same time, I think that we can fall into traps of perfectionism, right? Like, I can't have what I want until I can do XYZ, getting, you know, getting into that pure being state all the time. And then we end up setting up new belief blocks that didn't really need to be there in the first place, right? So I want to be careful here. You know, I have worked with a lot of women. I tend to attract women who are, let's just call A-plus personalities. And one of the things that because I am an A-plus personality, I have soothed myself. But I think one of the things we have to be careful about when we teach is what we say to our students, because they hear it, they go, oh, I do need to have that all the time, right? So I've learned to be careful about that a little bit. But I think that as much as we want to maintain connection, we can also ask the divine, okay, carry this out for me, right? Nudge me, tap me on the shoulder, do something to get my attention if I'm out of connection, right? And I think that's one of the reasons why I like soul language as a paradigm, because you can get in there and you can talk with your team, and you can give your team one of your team members a job, right? Like, okay, Huntress, which is one of my languages, give me a little shake when I need to be cognizant of that. So what do you, after saying all of that, my next question is, how do you know when you are being in that connected place and when you're not? What are the tells for you?
For me, it is very evident that I feel it in my body. I feel it in my body. And that doesn't mean, you know, aches and pains or whatever we have going on disappear. But I have telltale signs that are in my body that I'm connected, and I'll feel the spinal channel, you know, tingle a lot. I'll feel the top of the shoulder blades tingle and have a radiation, the size of my neck as an example. These are areas of my body when I know I'm connected, that these spaces have sensations, and they're not negative sensations. They're blissful, gorgeous sensations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It feels really good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I notice my heart, that heart center feeling open and not impeded. And I can tell when I'm out of connection, because I can feel almost like a little bit of pressure forward, right at the top of my shoulders. It's like I'm, whether it's a guarding kind of a thing or just I've let the energy of the day kind of get in there, right? Yeah. So what are some of your favorite ways to jump into the frequency that feels so delicious, into that being space?
Yep. So there's a variety of entry points that will bring me to breath work. And breath work is really the core. So I can talk in brief about the entry points, but the breath work is the most powerful aspect of this. And sometimes breath work is the entry point, but I'd rather have something precede it to get me into that in a more stable place, right? I don't want to be flighty and off out into the universe and not be able to come back and reground and regroup. I want the connection, but I want to also come back down to 3D Earth and be in my body. I've experienced it the other way, and that's not the way. That's not the way at all. That's a total disconnect and disassociation that is not serving me or the world, right? The breath work will lead the space of stillness. And so there's a lot of amplification going on, and then it's easy now just to drop into the void. Come into that presence, go into the deep, deep states of meditation, and then go on from there into the rest of the abundance plan, is essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And the entry points could be 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be anything profound, but it could be a whole full out kettlebell workout, 50 mile bike ride. It could be all of that. It doesn't have to be, right? It could literally be a 5 minute move your body in some way that feels great. Could be a short, super short yoga session. Anything that gets your lymphatic moving, the heart rate lifted, and your respiratory breathing up a little bit. Doesn't have to be a lot, although it could be. So I've done it in every variety possible, and they all work wonderfully to get to the point where I can sit down, the rest of the world can just go away, phones off, whatever it is. I make sure that my area, my home, my practice space is secure. There's nothing going on. besides me and the practice. So my dog is safe, my family's safe if they're around me. The doors are locked, the windows are closed, right? So a secure and open practice space, and then it's breath work. Breath work is the key. It's the gateway, it's the master key into what comes next, which is the silent sit into meditation.
Beautifully said. So I want to come back to what you were saying about working with the body and getting the heart rate up and getting the respiratory rate up, anything that gets the lymphatic moving. Can you talk a little bit more about the why that connection between the body and the mind allows you to have a much clearer space for the mind?
Yeah, it's essentially priming the pump. Right? It's priming the pump. It's getting some blood flowing, all the other systems flowing. So you can enter into the breath work in a more grounded way, right? Because the breath work itself can bring you into other realms, right? I've done it many times. But if I can be in my body while we're doing that, it is the safest, most grounded way to enter into a deep, deep practice like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting to hear about it from that safety perspective, because I know from personal experience and some of the science of the mind body connection, right? If the mind is chattering, you know, a lot of times I'll tell people just go run the stairs, right? If you can't quite get centered, if you just can't quite get there, literally get up, do something, run the stairs, go outside, walk around the block, walk around the cul-de-sac, whatever it is. And then when you come back, you're really in that, it's a much more present space. But of course, because you're grounded.
That's it.
Right? You've dropped your energy into your body. And, you know, whether you use that language or not, you can feel it. Yeah. Right?
Yes, yes. In addition to that, it's going to warm up the body to come into a sitting position. Which for a lot of people, that's either uncomfortable or not possible for a long period of time. And, you know, the whole yoga thing is, you know, why do we do the practices? Well, one theory around that's taught is we're doing all this yoga so we can sit still without a sensation or a pain or a nagging essence anywhere in our being, you know? So it's also going to warm up the body so we can sit for a longer period of time. Right? Not just 2 seconds or 2 minutes. Some of my sits are, you know, they're 90 minutes long. They could be longer.
Goodness.
But, you know, if the day was, you know, geared towards a retreat kind of a day, you know?
Sure. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we also want to, you know, be able to, whether you're in a chair or you're cross-legged or, you know, you don't have to be in a full lotus. There's no rule. As long as your spine is long and tall, you're golden. It could even be in a lying down fashion. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but to get our bodies prepared for stillness is critical.
Right? Right. And we don't do stillness. This culture doesn't really do stillness. It doesn't, you know, what did you do today, hon? Oh, well, let me tell you, right? I sat for 2 hours. That's not something, I mean, you know, our partners hopefully understand what we're doing here. But the general public, general person, right? That's not something that we laud. We don't give medals for being able to go within and hear. We give medals for all of the other kinds of the accomplishments, right? And the physical things. So I think that even just giving ourselves permission to be still is really important.
It's huge, especially, you know, your demographic, your A-type women, as an example.
Yep.
And I've worked with many of them. That's probably my former primary demographic, you know? But I've also worked with a lot of military operators. I've worked with a lot of veterans. I've worked with a lot of men in addition, and a lot of hardcore CrossFit athletes. I've rehabbed Olympic, you know, gold medalist, and a lot of jiu-jitsu national champions. So I've been privileged to work with a pretty wide gamut, but everyone is in that doing, and the beingness even in the doing is a big absent.
Yeah. Do you find, and this is, I don't want to get too far off course here, but do you find that that athletes understand the stillness in a way that's different than the average person?
For sure. Yeah. Or they won't be able to perform.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, I think that that's, well, that's another conversation. But I, because there's such once you begin to add some of the stillness into your daily experience, you begin to have experiences that haven't ever happened before, mm-hmm. right? Insights drop in, visualizations drop in, ahas, everything. I mean, it's just really amazing what happens when you let yourself sit and be still. Yeah. And I'm curious about this too for you. I think that one of the reasons why people don't allow stillness is because they are afraid of what's going to drop in. I think a lot of times we use busyness to keep the anxiety at bay, to keep the worry at bay, to keep the monkey mind at bay. But it's kind of paradoxical because once you figure out the stillness, those emotions do drop, right? Your overall experience of anxiety and fear, or at least my personal experience, when you allow the stillness, it actually pushes it dissolves, right? It dissolves those feelings. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely so spot on. And it's probably why our society doesn't do this as much, besides we're A type kind of personality as a country, you know, if you would, yeah. or Western societies as a whole. We weren't raised to be shamans and yogis, you know. We were raised to go to school, get A's, and go do your thing. Yeah. But when I was in India back in 2008, everybody was peaceful and calm for the most part. Mm. And they are humans like we are humans. But they were able to go into full squats with general ease and have conversations and meals like that. Right. And a lot of them were poor beyond our imagination. Right. But they didn't always know it. They still had this essence of peacefulness around them. I remember waking up every single day. I was in India 7 weeks in one space, waking up every single day for 7 weeks. And there's across the street was this very, very huge rock pile. Right. And every day that rock pile will get smaller and smaller and smaller. And it must have spanned 800 meters, right? The rock pile, and they're very, very high. And I found out how that rock pile got smaller because I was just so curious about it. It had to be 50 women dressed up in the saris and everything, sledgehammering.
My goodness.
That rock pile. So beyond all the feminine things we can go into on a whole sideline conversation, I approached some of the women and it's like, they weren't upset. They were sledgehammering a rock pile. It was part of what they were doing in their life, right? And still most people, most of the time, had this essence of peacefulness around them, even though our worlds are so dramatically different.
Right. You know, it's interesting because this conversation, we will get to a point of talking about money, mm-hmm. right? As an output, as one of the ways that we can use in quotes, this stillness, and yet stillness and peace are their own goals. Yeah. Right. And so it's fascinating. I'm sorry.
That's their currency, if you will.
Right. Exactly. You know, and I look at my, you know, I've got a she's not a giant, but she's 130-pound Newfoundland, right? And she doesn't care. She doesn't care what the weather is. She doesn't care if she's next to me, she's good, yeah. right? You know, and I think that part of this new paradigm of abundance is really being able to understand all different layers of abundance. And it is true abundance to be able to have that sense of peace and stillness. And of course, money in the bank is good too. But to really honor the whole process of it, instead of saying, okay, give me that magic pill and now my bank account is full, right? Yeah. It's just to be able to have that appreciation for the whole spectrum of abundance and prosperity.
That's right. And having more than just one currency, because it's not just dollars, that's your currency, because there's a lot of wealthy people who are unconscious and unhappy. Yeah.
them.
And have horrible health situations or have horrible relationships too. So it's like you just said, the full spectrum of currencies, including including the dollars in the bank. Yeah.
So let's So let's turn to the dollars in the bank. How have you? What have you noticed as you have begun to have a more steady approach to stillness first and then an abundance practice? What have you noticed shifting for you?
The first things that I noticed was my ease around money. That was the very first thing, especially this year. Because when COVID came into play for a lot of us, my entire business model was eradicated. Yeah. Every single bit of it, right? And regardless that I have books on Amazon, they're not paying the mortgage, if you know what I mean, right? So, but my trainings, I was traveling the country doing all my trainings and workshops and delivering my work. Well, that travel stopped and my one-on-one clients also stopped, right? So, I had to come into a place of serenity within myself, regardless of what was going on outside of myself. That was the very first thing that I noticed. And then as I got into a more stable place inside, I was able to receive more, right? And then think dollars just started to appear out of nowhere to support, the overall mission of what's going on in my world, so.
Right. You know, and I think, you know, that first bit about getting into a place of, you could call it acceptance, you could call it surrender. Both words mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but it really is the first step, isn't it? To be able to say, okay, this is where I am. Yep. And I'm going to make peace with it. Because we can battle it really hard, whether it's we don't have income coming in, or whether we have steady, good, what most people would call really good income, but not a lot of time, or right, we've lost out on the other currencies, as you say, right, whether it's time or feeling worthy or time with family, whatever, and. If we can just drop the battle, it's such an important first step, right? And I think that again, it goes along with our society. Do. So if I have something that I don't like, I better keep saying I don't like it, or it's not gonna change. Yeah. Right?
Yep, yeah. Agreed. Agreed totally. And that's why I started doing the breath work inside of this kind of a sacred practice as the gateway to stillness, because I would feel all kinds of unease in my body around a lot of things. And that had to be cleared energetically, which supported clearing the physical sensations too. So.
We have just a couple of minutes and then we're going to take a break. I want to come back to the breath work. Do you have a favorite quick breath work that you could take us through in the next minute or so?
Oh boy, next minute.
Or could you tell us about it and then we can practice it on the other side of the break?
Absolutely, that would be great. So the first and primary is to warm up into intense breath work. So the alternate nostril breathing is very, very common in our spiritual circles. So that's what I'm using as the warm up into fire breathing, essentially. So, and then the fire breathing is the meat or the heart of the practice. And then there's meditations that follow suit afterwards. So I would be thrilled to lead a little bit of a practice here after the break. Yeah.
That would be great. Just to give people an idea, right? And there's so many different ways to enter in, but why not use something that we have within us?
That's right.
Right. It's always here. It's always present. You don't need an accessory.
That's right. That's right. And the pills just don't really do the trick, if you know what I mean. So
they don't. Yeah. They don't. And I, you know, it's one last thing to say, and then we'll jump into break. But I think that I love having the arena of money to talk about this, to talk about all of these topics, because money is something we all have an experience with. But all the work that we're talking about with the breath and the stillness have impacts that are far reaching. And I don't think any of us really know how beautiful our lives could actually be. And so I'm so thankful, so appreciative of this teacher that is money, because it really can take us places that we never knew that we even wanted or needed.
Yeah, totally agreed. And I wouldn't have been so deep in the breath work as a primary practice if money wasn't that teacher through you for me. So yeah, absolutely with you. Yep.
Beautiful. All right. Well, this feels like a really good time to take a break. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance, and with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom. We will be back in just a few moments. And when we're back, we're going to talk, Risha and I are going to talk a little bit about soul language and add that into the equation. And we'll also do some breathing. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Hi, my name is Diane McClay. I'm comfortable being in front of people. How to make things work in a structured format made me feel a little nervous. Everybody I have worked with on the Transformation Talk team met me with enthusiasm. Their confidence in me spilled over to me and allowed me to just grab onto it and say, oh yeah, that's me and I can own it. Thank you for showing up for me. Thank you for allowing me to put my gifts into the world, and thank you for making me look good while I do it.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. Ever wonder why you want to go to the gym more, for example, but you just can't make it happen? You find yourself rearranging your underwear drawer instead of getting in the car. If this sounds like you, you might have caught a case of the shoulds. Maybe you think you should lose 20 pounds to fit back into your favorite pair of jeans, or that you should be healthier in general. It all sounds good, but deep down you just aren't into it. Truth is, making choices from shoulds just leads to guilt, resentment, and a whole lot of procrastination. So take a good look at your goals. Are you shoulding yourself anywhere? If so, give yourself permission to let it go. For more insights like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to support you.
On Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Rishi Eric Infante. Rishi, I'm loving the conversation. And I tell you what, before we jump back into chatting, can you let people know how they can find you and learn more about the breath work that you do, as in addition to all of the myriad other offers that you have?
Yep. So I did send you some awkward looking links. So there is that.
Right. Those are all the show notes. Yep.
Okay, perfect. But yep. Two websites that I'm working with right now. One of them is in dire need of redesign. The other one is still in process. But melaacademy.com. So M-E-L-A academy.com. That's my training website. And then my new soul-based work website is REI. soultribe.com. So that's another way to way to reach me. And that's going to probably be my flagship website moving forward.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. It's sort of the, right, it's the tailor or the shoemaker always needing new shoes, right? The tech guy, you know, needs the new website.
Yeah, I've actually prided myself to have everything, you know, updated as I go and looking gorgeous and beautiful, keeping the Steve Jobs kind of viewpoint of everything needs to be looking gorgeous inside of its functionality. So typically I'm well structured around all that, but I'm in a flux. I'm in a bit of a transition. So REI Soul Tribe is taking the precedence of getting things updated, and Mail Academy is kind of just going to, you know, peel off the end a little bit. So
beautiful. Well, that's good. So I just want to make sure people know how to connect. And again, in the show notes are Rishi has a number of free offers as well as other longer programs that are paid, of course, but you have a number of things that people can try out. So I'm going to encourage all of you to take a look at those, please. He's got a lot of expertise and a lot of things that we can share. Okay. So let's talk soul language. I'm curious. Well, let's do it this way. Would you be willing to share your languages with our group? And let's just do, I know you have all of them identified, all the different types, but let's start with personal and then talk money as well.
Absolutely. So my personal soul languages are matriarch, patriarch, rainmaker, and then soothsayer. And soothsayer is such an alignment with me. In fact, my name Rishi means seer. And essentially for the soothsayer. So kind of, I love how things go in parallel. My money languages are caretaker as well as teacher. And then of course, you got to know me a little bit already, passage inventor. So yes. A lot of avenues.
So. Lots of ways for those dollars to come towards you, right? Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about how soul language has aligned with you and how it has changed how you do you.
Yep, absolutely. So the first thing that happened was, you know, I'm able to drop into a deeper space. Which means your stillness and your meditations and where you go inside of yourself around that. I remember going to meditation retreats over and over and over again. And of course, there's a little bit of teaching, a lot of meditation, and then more teaching, and then some sharing. And I remember in my earlier days, listening into people share about their meditative experiences. And then a common thread was this: I've been meditating for 30 years or 50 years. I'm talking long durations. And they would also have a trailing comment that, well, my life just isn't any different or better. Mm. Okay. So for me, that was an aha moment to not go 30 years into no effect. You know, I want to have an effect out of the work, you know, and I want to deepen the connection to myself. So my discernments, my choices, and my decisions in my life are more profound. And then it really brings me back to, and it's kind of an ongoing thing until very recently, like last week. you know, I'm always, it's an open question for me. So I'm not necessarily driving for an absolute answer, but am I in alignment? Is my purpose in alignment with the divine's intentions, right? So I'm just kind of navigating the weave, if you would, to stay in alignment as best as I can. And so the meditations and the work through soul language is giving me that alignment, more profound than any other meditation that has been brought to my attention. And trust me when I tell you, dozens and dozens and dozens of methods and styles of meditation from our world's greatest teachers and lineages. I have not uncovered one stone, right?
Yeah.
And the soul language is providing this alignment very, very remarkably. So,
Yeah, it you know, we talk about the soul language paradigm as being a tangible tool, mm-hmm. right? A tangible way to connect with your soul, a tangible way to understand your soul. Mm-hmm. And it is as advertised, right? Because we are able to touch those parts of ourselves in a brand new way. And we really get to hear the voice of the divine, mm-hmm. and the voice of the divine as we hear it through our filters, through our personality. But it is really phenomenal how being able to connect with this part of ourselves, and my experience here coming in, obviously, and truly understand who we are. You know, I think I've said it probably multiple times. People who listen to the podcast have heard me say this a number of times, but you know, when I found out that I was, my personal quest is pioneer. And there was so much relief when I understood that to be part of myself, that it was in alignment to keep doing new things. Right? I sort of scolded myself, like, why can't you just stay at one job? Why, you know, you trained as an occupational therapist. Why didn't you stay there? If you'd stayed there, you'd have had it, you know, the whole, all the mind stuff. But I it was time for something new, right? I have to lead myself to new things, help other people go into new avenues. And it and just that sense of peace that comes with alignment is worth its weight in gold. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you really honed in on like a big thing. So another powerful force of the soul language is discernment around. And this is in our spiritual realms, you know, around our cultures. I call them teabag teachers, right? They, you know, the yogi tea, and there's a little mantra.
Oh yes, yes. It, right? Mm-hmm.
So, yep. I don't want you as my teacher. I want something that's a little deeper than just that, right?
Yeah.
So there's the soul language paradigm has provided me with a discernment between imagination and intuition.
Oh.
That's
goosebumps when you said that. Yes.
Most powerful tenets that I've gotten from the soul language training is that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mm-hmm. big gap between the two.
Yes. Oh, that's beautifully said. Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Because we can play, you know, and it's interesting coming back to your comment about people saying, well, I've meditated for 30 years, but, you know, life isn't really any different, right? But really, when you get into that place of not just living in imagination land, but really living in a place where you can bring it to life, bring that purpose to life, bring your beingness to life. It's important, and it's life-changing, not to be dramatic about it, but it truly is. It's been life-changing.
Yeah,
so what would you
out of the superficialness of our spirituality?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And bring it into everyday life, because that's the point. Right? Isn't that the point? I do think, you know, in talking to people who are relatively new to the work, right, that it, there's who you are, and then there's your spirituality. But no, we are interwoven, and when we truly give ourselves permission to be interwoven, things change.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's some fear to that. I don't know what, you know, but I've stopped being worried about it. You know, if somebody doesn't want to be around me because I use the word divine or universe in an offhand comment, you're not mm-hmm. You're not my person, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Off my soapbox. So what would you say about the money languages and how that has helped understand the soul money relationship, or working with money in general in the tangible?
Yep. It's provided me with, first of all, evidence of who I am and, you know, what I've been through in my life. And like you, a lot of journeys, a lot of roles, a lot of jobs, you know, high school, year off, United States Marine Corps, hoorah. Right. From there, I went into a wonderful career of IT technical design for 20 plus years. Ended up owning my own web design business and having a very successful time with that. But then universe said, I want you to go do something else. And I resisted. And therefore, it gave me a chronic illness for 10 years. Right. So, hello, you know, there's your, as you said earlier today, 2x4 in the head. Right.
Yes,
so,
right.
Yeah. That was a couple of them.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a 4x8, maybe. Yeah.
So, you know, I've seen all kinds of alternative healers because Western medical science does not deal with chronic issues well, right? Yeah. Syndromes and symptoms of the sort. Drugs and diagnostics aren't going to really do the trick here. So I've sought out every alternative medical practitioner that we can. Yoga hooked, Ayurvedic medicine hooked, plant spirit medicine hooked, right? These are all very powerful things. Acupuncture hooked, these are all very powerful modalities for me, where some other things were not so much, right? So provided me with an understanding that, well, I could do multiple things and be okay with that. And the viewpoint from other people may not be so readily receiving of that, but in one given day, I can be an energy healer, a body worker, a teacher, which is one of my other languages. So I've been teaching for a very, very long time and God knows how many different subjects. So it's good to know I have that alignment, right? But passage inventor is, I was grateful that, oh my God, okay, I can be who I am and be super, super okay with that. Just like you were sharing a little bit earlier.
Right.
But also caretakers, So me being a therapist of I don't know how many modalities now that I've used over the time, it's all in alignment with who I am, right? So.
Right, and really giving yourself permission if you needed it. I mean, you certainly have had a long career, right? Even before we did money languages, mm-hmm. But really giving yourself permission to receive from that caretaking, yeah. Right? That when you, again, it's one of those roles in our culture that doesn't necessarily lend itself to being lucrative. You don't sure. think caretaking and lucrative in the same. In the same sentence, right? Yeah,
true. Yeah. So very true. And the other thing is, with passage mentor, that knowingness was and also an avenue for me to be so settled with myself that I came into more completion of projects, right? So,
oh, interesting.
And even before that, I was in a very high state of completing things, and not just a bunch of starting, right? So, I'm great at starting things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But completing things was another layer that I had to go into acceptance. That's how I produced so many different books, and
right.
So many different paintings in a very short period of time, but a lot of production is an example, right? So, and I'm working on 4 books as we speak right now, right? And my whole thing is, okay, I'm not going to put a deadline to it, but I know in my heart that I'm going to get these things complete. In a very timely manner, right? Because mm-hmm. a book from vision to Amazon production, there's a lot of steps, a lot of moving parts. And I do all of my own work. I do all my own typing, typesetting, book covers, the whole thing. I do every single bit of it, right? So I'm probably not even going to use an editor for these 4, so I'm just going to, I'm just going to read my own work and what I downloaded just to put it in language as best as I can, so.
Yeah, as someone who has been in book process for the last year, I can appreciate all that you're saying, right? Okay, so I don't want to cut this piece of the conversation short, but we've got maybe about 5 minutes or so left. And you tell me, can we do a little bit of breath work, or do you feel like that's not quite enough time?
Well, we can certainly do breath work in a short period of time, but the depth of the teaching won't be there. So just have that awareness, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So would you like to show a technique or talk about something? You tell me what would be what you're most comfortable with.
I'll do both at the same time.
Let's do it. Okay. Yeah,
so we'll go Nadi Shodhana here for a brief moment. So alternate nostril breathing, very, very common in our spiritual circles. It's a very harmonizing breath, very grounding. And I like to use this as an entryway into the fire breathing. So it's super simple. There's no rocket science here. So, and you don't even have to have the fancy hand thing. So just we close on the right nostril, we breathe into the left for a 6-point count. Switch, close left, exhale right. Keep the right nostril open, inhale right side. Switch, exhale left. Repeat that. Inhale left side. Switch the fingers, exhale right side. Inhale right. Switch, exhale left. Inhale left side. Switch, exhale right side. Inhale right. Switch, exhale left. And I would normally cue release the hand mudra and check your nostrils because mucus can move around in the nose a bit. So, tissues are helpful along the way. So the thing about what we just did, like everything else we've talked about, it's a practice.
Yeah.
Right. And doing this three rounds, what we just did was such a very, very short amount of time. But to practice that and do the work, right? Do the doing of the being, right?
Yeah.
And then that would, for me, what I teach primarily is using that and a couple other classical yoga pranayamas, breathwork techniques, to lead into the fire breathing, which is fairly involved. We got like 3 minutes, okay? So what I'm gonna do is just talk very, very briefly around it, and I'll demonstrate it. And I'm gonna have to say something real quick. This is a visually impactful kind of fire breathing because the whole body is involved. The face is like you just bit into a strong lemon. It's a rapid, rapid fire breathing. So we do a hand thing along the way. And unlike the classical yoga breath techniques, this is a shaman breath technique of fire breathing where it's a forceful exhale and a forceful inhale. Okay, so it's a really powerful. And you want to talk about raising vibration or raising frequency? My whole body is pulsing by the end of a practice, right? And I just sit inside of that pulsation in whatever stillness position I'm in. And then however long that lasts, it is. And then I move on into the abundance plan that you have laid out. So, so it kind of looks like this. One round, and mucus flies everywhere.
I'm sure.
Fine.
Yes.
Part of the process.
Yeah.
Neti pot is a God's gift, right?
Yeah.
But my whole spine is undulating. It's a very powerful practice. This changes things.
Yes.
This changes things.
Okay. Well, I have like a million other questions for you because that first, as we did the alternate nostril breathing, I felt very settled in my body, right? I just felt I was one.
Yep.
And then if I were to do the fire breathing, I can see how that oneness would be amplified, right? So, like I said, a million other questions, and I, not to leave it as a cliffhanger, but I'm going to encourage anyone who is as intrigued by this as I am to, I know you have a breathwork challenge that you offer a number of times. That's one of the links that's in the show notes.
Yep.
And to really, to take a look at that.
A whole month long in January starting as well.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And what I would like to leave people with really quickly is that, you know, these kinds of techniques, whether it's the nostril breathing or the fire breathing or whatever other means you use to get into the being state are important. And they, as you said, they're practices. Give yourself a chance to really play with them, to notice how they make you feel, do adjustments as needed. There's no one formula. And just to give that a try and to notice how that changes your ability to connect into this soul money relationship, to connect in with divinity, to connect in with the energy of money. Rishi, thank you so much for all your wisdom today. Great thank conversation. Maybe we'll have to do a part two here coming up, right? Yeah, so thank you so much. And to all of you who are listening, thank you for being present, for lending us your energy through the sphere here. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. We'll finish and I will see you again. Wisdom Abundance is here on the first and the third Friday of each month. And until we meet again, everyone, prosperous blessings. Take care and bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.